All right, so this is going to be our scripture text for this morning. It's taken from Luke chapter 18. It's also found in Mark, but we're going to be looking at Luke and a little bit of Mark. And it's this: as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. So there's a whole crowd of people. Jesus is walking, and then he stops. And he ordered the men to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So let's move ahead. Could you put the video up of that scene? So here's the setting. Jesus is approaching Jericho. There's a large crowd, and he's walking down the road. I always try to look at scripture as though it's a play. Those of you that know me, I love to write plays. So when I look at scripture, I think of it as a play. So here's a setting. Jesus was just coming from Jerusalem with his disciples, heading towards Jericho. Okay, next one. The main character of this is Bartimaeus, who's sitting by the roadside, and he's a beggar. You know, he's a son of, it says he's the son of Timaeus, and I'm just wondering, you know, why that was thrown in there. He's the son of someone, and he's sitting there begging. So here's a beggar who has a father, but yet he's out there begging for his living. And he heard that Jesus was near, and then he asked, what's happening? Like, I can't see what's happening. I hear something. I hear the rumble of the things, but what's happening? What's happening here? They say Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This is one of the few times where they use Jesus' name as Nazareth, and also that he is the son of David. It's just, so they knew that he was the son, he was the Jesus of Nazareth. And right before this whole scene, Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to be crucified, that something bad was going to be happening. So it's almost like a fulfillment of prophecy, you know, that there would come one, that he would be coming out of Nazareth, the Savior. So the man begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In the Greek, it said that he shouted like this. It's to lift up one's voice and cry aloud. Eboeisin is the Greek word for he was crying out loud. The people in the crowd, they were rebuking him. Did you ever see anybody like that? Expressing sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because their behavior or actions. They're rebuking him. They're saying, "Be quiet. Don't you know Jesus is here? Why are you screaming so loud?" So it made the man yell even louder. It says this time he yells, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the commentary said it meant to cry out loud, to shout, particularly like inarticulate cries, like one of those, "Jesus, have mercy on me," to the point where you can hardly understand him. He's crying out. He's following him. It's like a desperate screech, it says. This man was just so desperate to be near Jesus, just crying out with everything in his being. And then it said that Jesus stopped. And then Jesus said, "Call him over." So those people that were rebuking him, telling him, who knows what? Be quiet. You're disturbing the guy. It's Jesus. His disciples, who had just been with Jesus for a long time, hearing him talk, watching him heal people, hearing this man cry out, they don't even stop. They don't stop. They don't say, "Hey, Jesus, do you hear this guy crying? Like, maybe we should do something." No, go back to that. They go over to him. Now they have a change of heart. "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." So I'm wondering why now, you know, Jesus is like, "Tell him to come, guys. Don't you hear him? Call, tell him to come over here. So they did. But I'm wondering, like, why? You know, I was thinking in my mind, why were they telling the man to be quiet? Jesus had healed people all the time. Now they're telling him to be quiet. Now all of a sudden they have a change of heart? I found the scripture right before this happened. Found it very interesting. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What did he ask the blind man? What do you want me to do for you? They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other sit in the left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, said Jesus. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there they were, just had this old argument. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus is like, what do you want? They go, Jesus, if we ask you anything that we want, would you give it to us? He's like, what do you want? Well, we want to be the hot shots. So they're having this, and the other 10 are like, are you kidding me? Did you hear what they ask him? They want to be the hot shots. What about us? We want to be the hot shots. So meanwhile, right after that, they're walking around. There's this poor guy, this beggar going, can you please help me, Jesus? Can you help me? They're all having a little hot shot. Who's going to be the biggest? Who's going to be the greatest? They pass right by the greatest need. Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to show you what you should be doing. You shouldn't be talking about your hotshot stuff. You shouldn't be rebuking people, telling them to be quiet. You should be helping those that are crying out. It's not about you. Have you not learned yet? I'm almost finished. We're on my last leg of the trip. Have you still not gotten it? So they say, you know, cheer up. Get on your feet, he's calling you. Well, who isn't Jesus calling? Jesus is calling everyone. How do we respond? I'm thinking, okay, there's a couple points of this story. One, are we the rebukers? Are we the ones that are responding to those begging and needing and crying out for help? Do we just walk past? Are we just too busy in our lives to stop? Do we walk past, do we help, or do we judge? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I thought, you know what, to truly be a disciple of him, what do we do when we hear the beggar? What do we do when we see the one that needs healing? We go to work, someone's sick. What do we do? Oh, I feel bad, I'm sorry you're sick. Someone's having a really rough time in their life. I'm sorry to hear that. Or I'm just too busy. I can't be bothered right now. I think the reason that Jesus stopped hit me is because my life is always in fast forward. And I thought, how often do I just stop and just take it in and just stop and see what's going on around me? I'm always so like going 100 directions. And I thought, I think that's why that scripture, Jesus stopped. I thought, he's never too busy for me. He never just keeps on going past me. He stops. And look how old Bart responded. He took off his cloak, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. And I thought about the cloak. I thought, you know, all of these little parts of that story are put in there for a reason. He took off the cloak. And he ran to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Now, is it quite obvious what the man would want? Can you see he's blind? But But Jesus still said, what do you want? Go to the next. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. And he said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Then it said, in Luke, it says, immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So not only did he get healed, he began to follow God. Have you ever had such a need where you've desperately cried out? Where you've been sick? You know, last May when my son was in the hospital on a respirator, that was a desperate time. You cry out in those times, you know? If your finances are in trouble, you cry out in those times. If your child is in trouble, those times you can't breathe. When you have a kid that's really in trouble, you can't breathe sometimes because the pain is so bad. It's those cries. You lose someone that you love, it's that deep hurt, that deep cry. Your own personal failure, or you have a family crisis that's going on. A divorce, something major happening to you. That's where that cry comes, deep down in your spirit. It was that kind of cry that that man had. And how does Jesus respond to that kind of cry? He stops. And he listens. And he says, tell me what you want. And sometimes we have to tell him what we want. Even though he knows what we want, it's that hope and that faith that you walk in and you state what you want. Paul was even talking about it back with the worship team, stating that with our lips, what you need, what you want, believing in faith. Go ahead. Have you asked your dad for something? And your dad knew what you were going to ask for. Little Aiden wanted to stick his finger in that icing so bad. And his daddy knew he wanted to stick his finger in that icing. And so he says, go ahead, you can stick your finger in that icing. Oh, that's good stuff. Even though he knew, daddy knew what he wanted to do. But it was wait until you ask. Our fathers were like that. How many times you wanted to, you knew you had to go ask dad, and dad already knew what you were going to ask for. But he still made you come. Why do you think dads make you come? Any idea why dads make you come and ask? Dads, why do you make your kids come and you know what they want? What happens when you can give it to them? How does it make you feel? It makes you feel wonderful because you can give that which they ask. And when you're the child, do you hope that dad will give you what you ask for? Do you have faith that dad will give you what you ask for? And then that which you hope for when it comes to be, are you a happy soul? Is our father any different? But how many times dad will say, what do you want? And he knows what you want. There is hope, Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Go ahead, move ahead. The next scripture that really jumped out at me was, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This little verse is tucked in there. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. He is here. He is near. He is everywhere you go at all times. He is never too busy to stop, to listen to the heart cry that comes out of your heart when you truly need him. And he says, don't you be anxious for anything. because I will give you peace. You do not have to be anxious about your future. So let's talk about the cloak. Sometimes I think we are in these cloaks and we don't take them off. They hold us back. This man was like, I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I've got to get to Jesus. I'm going to take it off. He probably the money he had collected for the day was in that cloak. He's like, you know what? I'm going to leave it all behind. I need to go to that man. I need to go and be where he is. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to take it off and I'm going to go, because that's the old way of thinking. That's the old me. That's the beggar. I'm not the beggar. We're not the beggar. Jesus made us his sons and daughters not to be the beggar. We don't have to wear the old cloak. We don't have to keep carrying that with us. We can be healed. We can move on. We can leave it behind. We don't have to continue to wear it. So I'm thinking, what is my cloak sometime? Sometimes things that hold us back move ahead. Possible cloaks could be an embarrassment of something that's happened. It could be shame. It could be guilt. It could be unbelief. Do I really believe what you said? It could be a sin. When you feel God calling you in your life, or to come to him, how do you respond to it? When he says, take off your cloak or come to me, how do you respond? Do you sit or do you move? Do you listen what other people are telling you? Do you listen to what the world says and not what he says? If he says it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. If he says I'm going to take care of you, he's going to take care of you. If he says you're not going to have to beg, you're not going to have to beg. If he says that there's going to be a new life for you, there's going to be a new life. If he tells you to go somewhere, he's going to provide a way. But you have to do something. You have to stand up, take off your cloak, and move forward to receive that which he has for you. He's the one that heals. He's the one that makes things new. There isn't anybody else in this world that can do what he can do. So he took off his coat and he ran to Jesus, because he knew that Jesus was the only one that could save him. He was physically blind, but so many times I think we're spiritually blind. Not only spiritually blind to our salvation, but I think sometimes we're spiritually blind to things around us, to what Jesus wants us to be doing even for other people, to be reaching out, to be helping. There's a lot of hurt in this world. There's a lot of hurt in our own lives. There's a lot of things that are going not always right. But Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Tell me, what do you want? Go ahead, move ahead, Doug. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the amazing grace. This is the spiritual blindness that when our eyes are opened, that we sing that song, you know, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. But we have a lot more to see in life that goes beyond salvation. So what are you being saved from? What is it that you need? You know, the scripture says, make your request known through prayer. If you had to fill in the blank, Jesus, I want to, what would be your blank? Would it be to be saved? Jesus, I want to be healed. Jesus, I want to go where you want me to go. Jesus, I want to do what you want me to do. Jesus, I want to have faith to quit worrying. If you had to fill it, if Jesus said to you, and I believe today he is saying, what do you want? What do you want? Speak it. What do you want? Bring it before Him. What do you want? Do you know what you want? Bartimaeus received his healing by faith, and then he became a follower. Sometimes when we say what we want, we just have to believe by faith that God is going to answer our prayer. You can't see it. There's so many things we can't see in life, but yet, you know, I know that God is calling us to do stuff. You know, even like in my own life, whenever I saw the need of kids with autism, I see the needs here in the United States, great needs. Then I go somewhere else and I see moms crying out, like crying, catching their tears in their hands, like, please, I need help with my kids, you know? And I say, Jesus, I see the need. What do I want? I want to go. I want to make a difference. I want to help. I want to do something. I want to make things better. I need you to help me to do that. I need you to show me the way, but I will be willing in faith to step out and I will do it. I will go where you tell me to go. I will do what you tell me to do. Because when you feel the Lord speaking to you in your heart about something, you've got to step out and you've got to do it. Even if it's on the other side of the earth, you've got to do it. You know, it's stepping out, it's believing. What do you want? Do you need healing? What do you want? Tell Him what it is that you want. Bartimaeus had rare eyesight even before he met Jesus. He saw his greatest needs was to meet Christ and to be near Him. And so many times too, we walk this earth and we don't walk with Jesus. We just walk. We walk in our own strength, and then we find that we're empty, and we find that we're dry, and we don't try to get near to Him. We don't press into Him. We don't run to Him. We just stay where we're at, and then we wonder why things don't change. If we don't step out, if we don't desire to be near Him, if we don't draw into Him, if we don't run to Him, if we don't seek Him, especially in time of trouble, if we just think, no, I'm just going to be in my little pity party, me and myself and I, and we're just going to sit here and we're just going to cry and we're just going to be sorry for ourselves. Jesus is like, what are you doing? Why are you having your little pity party? And then people go, oh, well, I'm so sorry for you. I know it's really bad. You don't know how bad it is. Well, that's not really helping anything. Jesus says, no, don't talk like that. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Speak forth the things. In faith, believing that I care enough to stop and listen. Bartimaeus, if he had left that opportunity to go by, he'd still been blind. For the rest of his life, he would have died a blind man. But he says, nope, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. And so many times we let opportunities for healing to pass us by. Sometimes it's just healing a heart. I often wonder how many opportunities have I let pass by in my own life. You know, how often have I let the noise of the day crowd out and the voices that I hear of things, you should be worried about that. How are you going to do that? You're never going to be able to do that. So many times I let those voices crowd me out, and then I find myself going, oh, I can't do this. And then all of a sudden I'll hear a voice, yes, you can. Get a vision of Jesus standing still right in front of you, saying, what do you want? Don't listen to the voice of the world, and when He calls, run. Ask Him for it and believe in faith. Do you have a coat that you need to get rid of? Move that forward there, Doug. The Lord is near. Jesus is standing still. The reason that I put this picture up here, when I look at that picture, I can almost feel someone's hands on my face. I thought, when I look at this picture, I think, when I come to Jesus, when I step up here at this altar and I have a need that I literally could feel the hand of Jesus on me. And I thought, that picture is like, I can feel that. If there is something in your life that you feel like you need that touch, that you need his hands to be upon you, that you need to just decide today, you know what, I'm going to let that old thinking, that stinking thinking behind. I'm going to let that cloak behind. And I am going to step out and I'm going to envision Jesus looking at me and saying, what do you want? Envision him standing still, looking at you, arms outstretched. He has not changed. He said it then. He said it to his disciples. He said it to the blind man. He said it many times. What do you want? We have to speak to him and tell him what we want. According to his will, Jesus will give you that which you want, that which you need, that which will move you forward in his purpose for your life. To become a disciple, to become a follower of him, we've got to decide. We need to make a decision. We need to follow him. And you know what? I need even just, what do I want? Jesus, I want to be nearer to you every day so that I don't have to hear the noise and the chaos of this world that tries to drown you out. Sometimes I just need to press in and to know that you are with me. Because when you're going through a really, really rough time, those times where your heart is crying out, sometimes that's when you feel like Jesus isn't with me. How could he be with me and let all these things keep happening? That's when you just need to get a vision of him stopping in the midst of the crowd and standing still and listening to what you want and what you need. So let's move on to the... There's a song that I just want to play. And as we're just going to open up the altar for prayer. And if you feel like you just need prayer, let us pray with you. But I don't want you to look at us that would pray with you, but just to think that Jesus is standing here saying, I want to embrace you. I want to touch you. While they're just getting that ready, let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to come before you this morning, Lord God. Thank you that you are near to us, oh God. Oh, Father, we just want to get an image of you, Father. Standing before us, oh Lord, with your arms open wide, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your love and your compassion for your people, for hearing our prayers, oh God, for hearing our cries. Lord God, we just thank you for being a God that is faithful and loving. We just ask, Lord God, that you just remind us this week of how much that you care about us and how much that you love us, Lord God. We thank you for that. We're so grateful, God. So grateful for having such a loving Savior that cares so much about us. Father, may we see ourselves through different eyes this week, through your eyes. Knowing, Lord God, that you are our Abba Father, the one that just is always with us and walks with us and talks with us and helps us along our way. And let us always remember, Father, that you are near. Every day that you are near to us, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for being so near that we don't have to be anxious about anything in our lives. Help our heart receive that message, Lord God. Even though our minds sometimes just tend to worry, may our spirit remind our mind that we are to be anxious about nothing and that you have all things in control. Lord God, I thank you for today. And I ask, Lord God, that you continue to just move in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, Amen.